My dearly beloved in Christ, today is one of two feasts of St. Michael in the church year. The other is on May the 8th in honor of an apparition of St. Michael. But today is the anniversary of a day in which in the early centuries, one of the popes dedicated a basilica to the honor of St. Michael and the nine choirs of angels in Rome. This feast is meant to honor not only St. Michael, but all of the choirs of blessed spirits. In a few days, we have another feast, that of the guardian angels, to honor our holy guardian angels who keep watch at our sides, who inspire us with good thoughts, and who pray for us, who intercede for us. We must remember the angels because they are very powerful intercessors with God. If we think of that first battle in paradise, when God created the angels and about a third of them rebelled and followed their leader, Lucifer, and rebelled against God, they were driven out of heaven by St. Michael and the good angels. And ever since then, there has been this conflict in the world between good and evil. And St. Paul, in one of his epistles, says, our struggle, our fight, is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the principalities and the powers, against the rulers of this world of darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in the high places. We need to remember that because sometimes we only think in terms of political concerns, of what we can see, and of the struggle in the world between good and evil and what we can see. And we forget that there is this struggle between God and his angels and the demons. And it is a struggle for the souls of men. In this struggle, we have powerful intercessors in the angels, and especially Saint Michael, who not only is the prince of the heavenly court, but has been appointed the special protector of Holy Mother the Church. We recite after every low mass that prayer to St. Michael. And I know many of you, perhaps all of you, have the custom to recite that short prayer to St. Michael after your rosary. And that is a good practice, that we invoke St. Michael in our spiritual struggle against the demons, against temptation, against evil in the world. Now, in today's gospel, we have this gospel in which our Lord calls to him a little child, because the question had been put to him, who's greater in the kingdom of heaven? And our Lord reminds those who were there that we must become like little children. We must be humble. We must practice the virtues. But then he goes on to warn against the sin of scandal. And one might wonder why this gospel is placed today in the Mass of St. Michael, as it also will be read in a few days on the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And the reason is because at the end of the gospel, our Lord says that one must be very careful not to scandalize a child, because their angels always see, he says, the face of my Father who is in heaven. This reminds us that the angels who are in this world, who are by our side, are still in heaven. They have the beatific vision. So this is a gospel in which our Lord reminds us of the existence of the angels. But this lesson, to not scandalize a child, is shocking to us, shocking in the words that our Lord uses. Here is the gentle Jesus, who always is so meek and humble of heart. As St. John the Baptist said of our Lord, he would not break the bruised reed or extinguish the smoking flax. Our Lord always had words of comfort, of gentleness. But here we hear him speaking very strong words of denunciation against those who commit the sin of scandal. And he says it would be better for such a person to have a millstone tied about his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea, rather than that he scandalize a child. Perhaps it would be difficult to find any words in the Gospels stronger or with a more serious or solemn denunciation than these. Why? Because scandal is such a terrible sin. Scandal is a type of bad example. There's bad example, but if someone gives you bad example and you're solid in your faith and you're not turned away from God by that bad example, then that's not really scandal, so-called. It's bad example, but it's not scandal. Scandal is a bad example that turns one away from God. To read, to quote to you here from My Catholic Faith, bad example is the principal occasion of scandal, which is occasioning the sin of another by any word or deed having at least the appearance of evil. If any help or encouragement is given in any way to cause another to do wrong, then scandal is given. Now, scandal is a sin against the fifth commandment. Because the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, commands us to respect the bodily and spiritual well-being of our neighbor and of ourselves. To respect life. Not only physical life, but supernatural life. And the soul is of much greater value than the body, and hence he who destroys the soul of another is guilty of a sin even greater than murder, which destroys the bodily life of another. And we know that this sin of scandal is everywhere today. The indecent television, motion pictures, music, magazines, printed material, pornography on the internet, etc. It's everywhere. Scandal. And we must remember these terrible words of our Lord against those who cause scandal. And our Lord says, there are going to be scandals because of human nature. Because of original sin, scandals will come. Nevertheless, woe to the man through whom scandal does come. Some ways of giving bad example or scandal are by indecent talk, selling or circulating bad books or pictures, by singing improper songs, by dressing immodestly, by appearing in public in a state of drunkenness, by profanity and cursing, by doing servile work publicly on Sunday, by behaving indecorously in the church, by ridiculing religion or priests, by writing against religion, by publicly violating one of the commandments of God or of the church, etc. So you can see there are many ways by which this sin is committed. By committing scandalous acts, a person influences others to do the same. This is especially true of children, who easily imitate their parents and elders. He who gives scandal is like a man who digs a pit into which someone else falls and breaks his neck. And you think of the scandal of a child who is taught, who is encouraged to do something evil, and then maybe forms a habit, a bad habit, of repeating that evil deed. And it becomes a vice, which eventually leads, as that child grows older, if that chain of vice is not broken, it could lead to the loss of that immortal soul, and it all began with that one sin of scandal on the part of an older brother or sister, or an older person, a neighbor. And you think, what a terrible thing to do to a child, to lead or introduce that child into sinful acts, impurity, whatever it may be. And this is far more common than we would like to believe. Now, of course, we all may have been scandalized in our lives in different ways. And we cannot use scandal as an excuse to offend God. Well, I was given bad example, that's why I have done such and such. Because God has also given us a free will and knowledge and the understanding, and we must not follow bad example. It is also important to mention that scandal is one of three things that the Catechism tells us, three sins that require restitution or require that a repairing of the scandal be done for the sin to be forgiven. The sin against the seventh commandment, stealing or damaging the property of another, requires restitution. for there to be forgiveness. Also against the eighth commandment, if someone's reputation is damaged, that must be repaired insofar as the person is able to do so if he wishes to have that sin forgiven. Scandal also requires restitution. An effort must be made to repair the scandal that has been given. It's very difficult to do. One of the best ways is simply by living the faith and giving good example to those to whom one might have given bad example before. But wherever possible and however possible, the scandal must be repaired because it is a very terrible thing. Also, we must avoid giving scandal as far as possible. We even ought to abstain from doing good actions of counsel if they may give scandal. For example, if one is dispensed from abstinence on account of bad health, he should refrain from eating meat before others in order that they might not be scandalized at that fact that he's eating meat on a day of abstinence. An example is given in Scripture, in fact, in the second book of Maccabees, of an old man named Eleazar. And Eleazar was 90 years old. And he was told by the pagans that he was to eat food that had been offered to idols. And that if he did not do so, he would be put to death. And some of his friends came to him, or relatives, and they said, just pretend like you did it. And that way you don't have to eat the forbidden food, but you won't be put to death. And they begged him to do that, to simulate eating it. And he said, never would I bring such a stain upon my old age, because the young men would see me and think that I was eating what is forbidden, and I would be guilty of scandal to them. So he was martyred at the age of 90 because he would not simulate an evil act. So many ways in which scandal has been done. And again, if we have been the occasion of scandal or bad example, we are bound to repair the mischief done. A public scandal must be repaired in a public manner. Even then, we usually cannot begin to repair the greater part of the evil we have caused. We must try our best to save those we have scandalized from the effects of our example. We must perform the contrary virtue, incite them by good example, and pray for them. We ought to be more careful about giving scandal because of the difficulty, nay, almost the impossibility of repairing the scandal once it has been given. So reflect upon this as we read today's gospel about the many scandals down through the history of the world that have been given to children, that have been given to others, and how many souls have been lost because of this terrible sin of scandal. We think of those words of our Lord about a millstone to be hanged about the neck, and then we understand why he spoke such strong words, because of the terrible evil that scandal is. This helps us to remember charity in general toward our neighbor, to remember the words of our Lord, "Their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." You have a difficulty being charitable to one of your neighbors? Remember that his or her angel, just like your angel, beholds the face of God in heaven. And thus, let us give good example to all in honor of their angels, for the good of their souls, out of charity, and above all, for the love of God, that we might all see him with our angels one day in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.